Hey, this is Bradley Weber, and I'm super pumped that you're joining us today. If you're a part of our Release City family, whether in person or online, we would love to connect with you on our social media platforms at Release City Church or on our website at releasecitychurch.org. There, you can stay connected with what's happening within the ministry, as well as giving options and opportunities to connect with other Release City family around the world. Now, I hope today's message encourages you and inspires you to run your race and become all that God is calling you to be. Now, let's jump into today's message.
Who you are today, for good or bad, all comes down to the choices you have made along the way. The decisions we make affect our lives 10, 15, 20 years from now. A choice made today will affect our lives tomorrow. So choose wisely.
Come on, let's say that together. Say, make wise choices. How many parents in the house ever told that to your students, your teenager, before they walked out the door? I'll never forget. I guess this is the day just of remembering. I'll never forget. I was in my office one day at that same church, and Caleb had walked in. Now, Caleb was cut. He was buff. He was all that Pastor B ever wanted to be. But I'm 45, so I can't have that. But anyway, I probably could if I would stay disciplined. How many knows you can have whatever you want if you're disciplined? Amen. That's another message for another day. But I'll never forget in the office, Caleb was getting ready to go out on a date that evening. And I'll never forget the words that I heard his mom, Deidre, say. And she said those words. She said, Caleb, make wise choices. And nothing like putting a little pressure on homie when he's getting ready to go out. Amen. I think we all need to feel that pressure today, that we need to go out of this place and make wise choices. All day, every day, choices are what we do. True? How many have already made the decision about what you're eating after lunch today? What y'all having? Because I need to know. We haven't prepared anything. I need to know what y'all doing. Becky, we got chicken noodle soup today. Whip it up real quick. That was last week. What? Anybody else? What y'all having? Steak, potatoes. That's you got Pastor B right there. You got my attention. It is true though. Choices every single day are what we make. And that's kind of how that song tied in, because I made the choice and the decision a long time ago. I haven't always been perfect, and I haven't, not that I'm perfect now, let me rephrase that. I haven't always been on the path doing the things that I was supposed to do and intended to do. And truth be told, neither have you. But you're in a safe place. You're not in a place where the pastor's going to beat you down. I'm here to build you up and lift you up. Because when you stay surrendered and yielded to him, God can turn anything around. What the enemy meant for evil and what the enemy meant for your bad, what the enemy meant to destroy you, God, it doesn't matter. I say this all the time in premarital counseling, because I want people to understand that when they're getting married, that doesn't mean that the honeymoon lasts forever. Come on. And all the married people say, that's true. That's true. It's true. And I just said, what the enemy meant for evil, what the enemy meant to destroy your marriage, always know, and this is what I tell them all the time, there is absolutely nothing, and I am living proof of this, there is absolutely nothing that is beyond repair. Now, there are things in Scripture, and I understand that, but I'm telling you, when two hearts are yielded to God, he can restore and repair anything. And that's not just for married people. That's for us in general. It doesn't matter how far, how jacked up, what a stupid decision I made, no matter what words I shot out my mouth because I let my flesh lead me instead of my spirit. Hello. There is absolutely nothing that God cannot restore in you and me. I believe that. It's been said that life is a series. Life is a series of choices. Life is made up of choices. But how many know that making choices and making wise choices is not always easy? And all the real Christians said, that's true. That's true. We're going to change the amen to that's true. That's true. It's true. And so choices are very powerful. Choices, they define your today, and choices will frame up your tomorrow. So how many of you want to have a great day tomorrow? Frame it up with good choices today. Make wise choices today. Touch your neighbor, tell them, say, make wise choices. So we started this series 2 weeks ago on toxicity, and I spoke to you in part one from the subject toxic transfusions, because I believe that we can come in contact with people. How many know what a transfusion is? You can come into contact people and they can give you a little bit of what they got and you don't even know it. It's called toxic transfusions. And we talked a lot about the importance of listening to the voice of God and setting boundaries in our lives. But today I want to talk to you from this subject. I've entitled today's talk, Toxic Choices. If you're taking notes, write that down. I'm going to give you some scripture verses today. Toxic choices. The first scripture that I want to give you is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 26. This was actually our theme verse for this series, and it says this. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, when a lover of God, everybody say, that's me. At least it should be. When a lover of God gives in and compromises with wickedness, it can be compared to contaminating a stream with sewage or polluting a fountain. How many have ever been to Rainbow River? Y'all seen that? How many lived here all your life? Now, no, keep it up. How many have been here all your life? If you've been to Rainbow River, leave your hand up. Okay, half of y'all. We need to make a church trip. Leaders, y'all write that down. We need to talk about that in our next leadership meeting. We need to go to Rainbow River. Rainbow River is the most clearest. I mean, it's not even blue water. It's like crystal clear. You can see everything at the bottom. You can go down through there and see all the alligators. Oh my goodness. Yep, those two. Saw those. You can see all the fish, all that stuff. It's beautiful. But can you imagine if we took a toxic container and just went to the top of the spring and dumped that in, how all that would just begin to pollute what was so beautiful. The Bible says when a lover of God gives in, everybody say give in. When a lover of God gives in and compromises with wickedness, it can be compared to contaminating a stream with sewage or polluting a fountain. Now you hear me talk a lot about being careful about what you allow to influence you. And it's been said that if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. That's powerful. I hear stories all the time. And I'm just going to say this. If you're married today, it's cool that you have friends outside of your marriage that is also friends with your spouse. But if all you do is hang out as a married person, hang out with single people, that's dangerous. Because single people are thinking about what? Themselves. Right? They're thinking about what makes them feel good. They're not. See, when you're married, it's not just about you. I'm just dropping a little marriage stuff on you here today, which we're going to go to the marriage conference this year. We'll be giving y'all that information for the Georgia trip pretty soon for February. But yeah, you cannot. Thank you. You cannot hang out as a married person with a bunch of single people, because before too long, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It won't take long till you'll be participating and partaking in all of the things that they are participating in. Listen, wickedness. I don't know what you think of wickedness, but wickedness, it'll creep in on you and you don't even know it. Creepiness. Creepiness is sneaky. I mean, wickedness, what I say, creepiness? Yeah, it is sneaky. Wickedness is creepy, it's sneaky, and it's subtle. See, the devil just didn't come in and go, hello, Michael family, I'm the devil and I'm here to wreck and trash your week. No, he doesn't. He starts with little bitty things. He's sneaky. He's conniving, and he's so subtle. The people who are doing hardcore drugs never started out just diving into that stuff. It came as a little subtle thing. Maybe a cigarette. I don't know. And if you're a smoker, this is not a bash. But what I'm trying to say, it always leads. I don't want to get there yet. I'm fixing to give you a punchline already. It could be anything. Pornography. Let me get off it, because I don't want somebody to go, he's talking about my cigarettes. No. It could be pornography. Back in the 80s and the 70s, there was Playboy magazines, but there was also something really cool and subtle like the JCPenney's catalog. No, I'm serious. That's how the enemy is crafty. Mama would get that JCPenney's catalog. I'd check the mail, snatch that thing. There was a few pages along the front that B needed to check out. Now we got internet. that'll listen to your conversations. You don't even have to search for it. You have a conversation about her, and a her will pop up. Dressed exactly how you wanted it to be. I'm gonna back off a little bit. I know Pastor B is, he's hitting some hard. This ain't even my notes. This Jesus. Because he is sneaky and he's subtle. Maybe it's somebody, sometimes we don't know that wickedness can come packaged in the people that are the most closest to you. Wickedness can come packaged in the people sitting down your pew or your road today. Maybe it's somebody you've been friends with for a really, really long time, and they offer you a perspective of a situation that you're going through, but their perspective is based on their circumstances, based on their non-relationship with God, so they're going to give you a non-God relationship perspective of how you need to handle it. It can be somebody who calls themselves a Christian, who identifies as a Christian, whose opinion is solely based on their relationship with God. I don't know about you. I say this all the time. Stop asking advice from people who aren't carrying the purpose that you are carrying for your life. Don't ask somebody how to build something who ain't never built anything. Don't be asking single people for marriage counseling. That person who's been divorced 35 times, chances are pretty good that they need to go to the marriage conference with us.
Well, Pastor, are you talking about divorced people?
No, because I've been divorced. I don't believe in bringing people in here and then pulling out the Bible and bam, you're going to hell. Bam, you're going to hell. Bam, you're going to hell. People already know that without Jesus, their lives are on the highway to hell. Is Pastor B too crunk for y'all today? Y'all good? Okay, there's no monster been put in here. There's a monster in here. It's called Little B. Speaking of being influenced, Amy is on me all the time about eating healthy. Yeah, I need all the help I can get. She's on me all the time. Well, this past week I had to go make a Sam's Run for the church, for the cafe, to pick up a few things, and as I was going down the aisle, these ding-dongs and cupcakes were calling my name. They were calling my name. And then when Amy comes back in town, I try to do the right thing. When I go grocery shopping, I try to put the groceries up and put them, you know, look for open places and put them. Just so happened this open place was on the bottom shelf of an area where I thought they go. And so she came in that day and went to put her lunchbox bag thing down there where it's supposed to go. I didn't know that was the specific spot. Had I known, I would have picked. Listen, if I was trying to hide those things, there's other places that she will not find. You know, like high places. Keep on walking, Amy. Keep on walking. There are places that if I was trying to hide them, I know. My hiding places, I can't tell that because then I can't say that. Anyway. She'll be like, B, don't you need to run? I need you to run the store for me and then tear the house apart looking for ding-dongs and cupcakes. But before I go through with this, anybody else like these things? Anybody else? Well, Miss Sandy, because Dane, one of y'all, somebody, either roll up here, come get anybody else. This I'm gonna give these things away. I'm finna teach y'all. You got the whole box. That's open because y'all know why that's open. Because I went back a couple times. Yeah. Anyway, she tried to tell me that I was hiding those things. She went to Alabama this week to see Tegan and do a couple things up there. And while she was gone, I was eating cupcakes and loving life and Jesus and I thought, you know. Because y'all know, I know y'all are like, well, number, y'all are like, well, why is she concerned? Because you're not. Y'all know it's skinny fat. Y'all remember. It's, I mean, I'm.
You know what that is?
it's real tight. It's got to hold that stuff in. And so, and there's areas that I know I need to work on, just like there's areas you need to work on. And I'm not talking about outward appearance. I'm talking about inside. I was walking through the house, you know, the Holy Spirit was like, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit, if it was Amy's voice. What are you doing?
and getting those cupcakes.
And I thought, man, she is so hard on me. And then it hit me. No, she's just trying to help me. See, there are some people in our lives that have been placed there to help us through areas that we struggle with. And we will label them as people who are trying to hurt us. That's why it's so important that you surround yourself. I wasn't kidding, y'all. That's why it's so important that you surround yourself with people who have your best interest at heart. Real quiet up in here. Listen, the real truth is this, and write this down. You're the most toxic person that you know. I'll never forget when me and my stepbrothers, when I was living with my mom and my stepdad in Georgia, and we were painting a room, and my mom and my stepdad left, and they left me and Chris and Eric at the house, and we were painting, and they just dropped us off. We already knew what to do. We'd been painting, and we knew how to set it all up and everything. So we got in there, and we're painting, and we're doing stuff, and all of a sudden, I look over at Eric, and he's, like, doing a dance while he's painting, and I'm like, Eric, what you doing? He turned around and said, what are you doing? And y'all, I didn't even not even realize it. I was sitting down. Somebody said, what's so crazy about that? We started to get high because we didn't open windows or doors to the room we were in. Eric was dancing. Eric has no business dancing. Neither does B. That's why I sit down. But he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting down. He said, why are you sitting? We're supposed to be doing something. He said, you know what? I think this paint fumes are getting to us. I was like, yeah, I think so too. What do we do? He said, we got to get out. You know what happened in that story? I saw toxicity in him, but I didn't identify it in my own. True story. It's easy to point out the toxins in someone else, but lest we take the mirror and look at ourselves. Listen, sometimes you're righteous, and sometimes you're wicked. You're the most wicked, toxic person that you know. I'm going to unpack this today. Y'all ready? Sometimes it's not outside influence that gets us, it's the inside influence. Sometimes it's not outside voices, sometimes it's our voice that's creating the devastating influence in our lives. It's important that we get this morning. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Don't put that one up. Take that one back down. You guys know this. Y'all know this verse. Take that back down. Y'all know this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. Right? You know that version? Let me read it in the Passion Translation. Here it goes. Trust in the Lord completely, and do not rely on your own opinions. But with all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Toxic choices. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. He said he will lead you. He will lead you wherever you go. Notice it's a promise attached to something. The promise is God will lead you, but what's it attached to? We see this throughout Scripture. God gives us promises, but it's always attached to something that I've got to do, a role that I have to play, or a part that I need to participate in. The promise is God will lead us if, what? We trust in the Lord, we don't rely on our own opinion, or that of those on Facebook. Number three, with all your heart, rely on him, and he will lead you in every decision. Listen, God will never remove from your life what you are comfortable to live with. You've got to choose. You can't just dabble with sin and be like, well, if it's so bad, God will remove it. No, you made the choice to be there. You've got to be the choice to remove yourself. And the Bible says he will always give you a way of escape. You missed a good time to clap right there, because we need to remember that God gives us a way of escape in every situation that is not of him. Tell your neighbor, say, I've got to choose. Tell your other neighbor, say, I get to choose. I get to choose. Let me say it this way. Where you are right now in your life is a result of the choices that you've already made up until this point. Where you are right now, you are there because of a choice that you made. Now, I just lost some of y'all because y'all were like, mm-mm. No. I'm a product of a dysfunctional family. True, aren't we all? But where you are right now is a direct result and reflection of a choice that you have made. Somebody say, I don't like the fruit in my life. You need to go back and check the root. Get to the root of the problem. What am I saying? We all have jacked up past and imperfect families. Y'all think the Webbers had a perfect family? Come on, somebody. I say all the time that I'm jacked up. My dad would tell you, if you catch him on a good day, he was jacked up. He would say that about me, but our family wasn't perfect. But we lived lives surrendered to Christ so that he could be glorified in the midst of our craziness. Listen, but if I'm not careful, I will live my life in reverse and excusing and justifying my current decisions based on my past circumstances and situations and past hurts. I'll justify it. I'll say, I'm doing this because they hurt me. I don't trust you because they hurt me and I couldn't trust them. Your past will rob you of your future. Listen, we can't say we're moving forward when we're making decisions today based on how somebody in our past treated us. I'm moving forward as long as I don't remember what they did to me. Hebrews 12:1 says this. This is what the Bible says. As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound. Say wound. That has pierced us and the sin that we so easily fall into. We got to let it go. Then we will be able to run this life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. What is a marathon? I looked it up. Some of y'all know, but I wanted to know specifically. It's a long distance race or an endurance contest. There's too many Christians that aren't in it for the endurance. They're in it up until they stumble and fall, and it's like, well, I can't be used anymore. That's not true. And it's a concentrated effort. Concentrated. You've got to concentrate. Where toxic choices will prevent you from making wise choices. So if you're putting toxins in, guess what's going to come out? Toxic. It said we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You know who's in that group? My mom and dad are in that group. Last Sunday, I was sitting back there getting ready to come out. There's a picture of Dad. It's actually the big picture that we had down here for his funeral. I told Amy, I said, for the first time, I actually heard Dad. And the way that picture is positioned with my chair that's sitting back there, it's like he was looking right down at my... Y'all can go back there and look. But it's like he's looking right at me. And for the first time, I heard my dad say, I promise you, son, I'm so proud of you. Who's in that group? People who had it much harder than you. We're surrounded by them. My parents aren't dead. They're just not here. They're very much alive. And I will see them again. Listen, at some point we've got to start taking a look at ourselves and examine ourselves. Why? Because we need to make choices that propel us in the direction that God is calling us to go, and stop making choices that keep us where we are. Too many stuck Christians. So here's the point that I want to make this morning, and I want you to write this down. I must recognize that I am my own worst enemy. That is so true. I walk off this platform on Sunday sometimes, and I feel like, man, that was horrible. I'm my own worst critic. But God always has a way, because then I'll get home, and I'll get a Facebook message. Got one just the other day from a member of our church family. They're not here today. They're on the road traveling, but that said, great message. Thanks for being our pastor. Just hours before, they did not know that I was believing that lie. That toxic thought, that toxic voice, that what was that, B? Listen, God's not, if it's condemnation, it's not God. Stop giving the enemy your ear time. Maybe you need to write that down. I got to stop giving the enemy my ear time. Listen, the greatest gift that you can give your family, your spouse, and your kids is a healthy you. A healthy you. That's the whole reason this ministry is here, is to see you healthy, whole, and living in freedom. It's real easy to look at other people and their issues, but sometimes it's hard to look on the inside. Listen, it's kind of like single people in dating. Single people have their list of expectations. Y'all remember? Got to look like this, built like that, drive this, bank account, right? Listen, married people, you've got expectations for your spouse. Oh, back to single people, that list, make sure you can do it too. Make sure you can check off that list. Live up to your own list, exactly how I put it in my notes. Married people, you got expectations. Listen, one of the biggest causes of stress in a marriage outside of finances, because that's number one, is unmet expectations. It's easy to see where somebody else falls short, but rarely do we look at all of the missed opportunities that we had. So let me ask the question, are you monitoring what you're feeding your spirit? You are what you eat. Garbage in, garbage out. Y'all have heard them. What are you feeding on? It's always been said, and I've heard it said, and I love this, the dog you feed is the dog that leads. So if you're feeding your spirit, you'll be led by the spirit. But if you're feeding your flesh, watch out. So the next way to identify toxic areas. The first one was to recognize that I'm my worst enemy. The next one is this. Ask yourself, what am I craving? What am I craving? If you're craving things that feed your flesh and not your spirit, you're craving the wrong things. But I'm a Christian. Why is this even an issue? We're talking about toxic choices. Paul dealt with the same thing, because there's a misconception that when I get saved and I get born again and I give my life to Jesus, that all of those desires should be gone. Why am I still having to struggle with this? Why am I still having to deal with that? Why do I still? Paul says it right here. Romans 7, 21 through 24 says this. I discovered that even when I want to do good, that's most of us in this room. That's all of us in this room. We want to do good. Evil is ready to sabotage me. This is Paul. Truly deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God. But I discern another power operating in my humanity, waging war against the moral principles of my conscience and bringing me into captivity as a prisoner to the law of sin. This unwelcome intruder, when y'all get faced with this stuff and those voices, that's an unwelcome intruder. You're an intruder. An intruder doesn't belong in the house. It's an unwelcome intruder in my humanity. What an agonizing situation I'm in. So who has the power to rescue this miserable man from the unwelcome intruder of sin and death? This is something that I learned from a long time ago. And then the Holy Spirit showed me something this week. Say this with me. Say, I'm a spirit. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. I heard that years ago. But this, as I began to study, this became a game changer for me. Because as a kid, remember, I thought once I get saved, I'm saved, like all of me. And see, the Bible says that, listen, just a little teaching moment. The Bible says that we were created in His image, okay? God is a three-part, I'm not trying to mess with your theology, but this is basic stuff. God is a three-triune being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three parts in one. Same is true for us. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Three in one. But because as a teenager and as a kid, I believe that when you get saved, you're just saved. You shouldn't desire to do stupid stuff. You're a new creation. Y'all know it. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That I shouldn't even desire that old life. No. That's not how it works. Your spirit is the only thing that got saved. Yes. John 3:6 says this, for the natural realm only gives, that's the natural, this is our flesh, the natural realm only gives birth to things that are natural, but the spirit realm gives birth to the supernatural. What's that mean? That you're only made new in your spirit. And he said it, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, this messes us up in our mind. Because I was brought up to think that once I got saved, my stupidity went out the door. And then, because I did stupid things, I felt like bad bee, bad boy. Like God's up there and he's just looking for ways because he wants to throw his discipline on me. I'm not that way with Ansley. I'm not walking around looking, did you do it? She's like, taking out the trash don't count. Come on. He's not up there looking to see if they gonna mess up today. Cause I got a little something for him. I got a little something. God doesn't operate that way. He loves you, and there is absolutely nothing that you and I can do to change his love for us. I'm knocking down stuff in the spirit today, in case y'all wonder why I'm so jacked up. We think just because I got saved and I used to be up in the club. Not me. I'm telling somebody else's story. Maybe it's your story. It wasn't my story. That wasn't my thing. But anyway, okay. So just because I got saved and I'm walking down the streets of Gainesville and that nightclub that I once used to go to, just because I'm saved, I may hear the Holy Spirit say, you can't go in there. I go, no, I can't go in there. That's not how it works. Your flesh will still put you up in that place doing some crazy things. B can't dance, so I'll hold that right there. I can be saved and still have the opportunity, if I don't make wise choices, to roll up in there. I can still be married, have a ring on it, and I can still make jacked up decisions. Why? Because my flesh is not saved. That's why I'm always, always having to tell my flesh no. Some of y'all need to say it a little louder. It's true. See, because when you start talking like, be like, but there ain't nobody in my car. No, there's somebody riding with you. It's called your flesh. I'm going to get there. I'm finna show you. Listen, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Listen, my spirit is connected to God. I was dead in my sins, but when I got saved, my spirit was awakened. My soul is the seat of my emotions, my thoughts, and my desires. That's my soul. My body is connected to this earth, things that I can touch, things that I can taste, things that I can feel, things that I can see. Y'all know it's summertime. Bathing suits ain't what they used to be. My flesh identifies with that. Because I got a daughter who, see, y'all thought I was tripping right there, didn't you? No, because I got a daughter who wants to wear a bathing suit. And they ain't a lot to offer. Literally. Y'all real quiet up in here. Here's the problem. My body loves to be in charge. It's kind of like this. Your soul is a vehicle. And every vehicle needs a driver, yes? Unless you drive a Tesla. But for most of your life, until you meet Jesus, your body is the driver of the vehicle of your soul. Who's going to drive? That's the question. Listen, the spirit should be the driver of the soul vehicle, but the body is always riding shotgun. Me and my stepbrothers growing up, we the day before, our parents would tell us, we're going to go there, and one of us would be the first one. Who can say shotgun? I'm like, homie, we're not leaving till tomorrow. Oh, I know, but I'm riding shotgun tomorrow. Okay. Listen, your spirit today may be driving your soul, but your flesh is still in the vehicle, kind of like a backseat driver. Amy is the world's worst. Hey, you see that car up there? I sure do. My flesh says, Hey, you see that girl? You see that? But my spirit says, caution, go this way. I don't know who I'm talking to. Somebody said, well, you talk a lot about girls and opposite sex and all that stuff. Drugs and alcohol wasn't my thing. See, the enemy started on B when I was just a little kid looking at JCPenney catalogs. Hello, somebody. My thing wasn't drugs and alcohol. It's always been girls. So guess what? The enemy always tries to do. I got to put the enemy out of the car sometimes. But he always has a way to get back in. You know why? Because it's part of me. I can't split this off. If I split my flesh off, I'm no longer here. All I'm saying is, stop beating yourself up, but understand that you are a spirit and you have a soul, and your driver needs to be your spirit instead of your flesh. Paul said in Galatians 5:6, as you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. So my question is, what are you craving? He never said that your flesh would stop desiring the old things and old habits. That's not what he said. Your flesh is dumb. It will look for ways to sabotage you every single day. So how do I walk in the Spirit? Here it is, first point. I must learn how to control my cravings. You're going to have cravings to do the things you shouldn't. Go places that you shouldn't. Watch things that you shouldn't. Listen to things that you shouldn't. But listen, the more you control your cravings, the less exposure you'll have. And the less exposure you'll have, the less you'll crave it. How do I control my cravings? Avoid the triggers. Dr. Marcia Pelshant said, and I quote, you crave the foods you eat most often. You crave the foods you eat most often. So if you switch what you eat, you can weaken old cravings and strengthen new ones. If you'll begin to feed your spirit and do it often, the dog you feed is the dog that leads, you will be led by the Spirit. Amen. At some, listen, too many of us want to stay toxic and still be blessed. It won't hurt. I don't see nothing wrong. Listen, if there's things, if you listen to it, it will plant a seed in you and there will be a harvest. Listen, blessings and bad habits cannot coexist. I want to be a blessed Christian, but I'm not willing to let go of some toxic things. Listen, what happens to you is a direct response of what's happening in you. What's happening in me either brings blessing or it brings pain. So I've got to avoid my triggers. How do I do that? So glad you asked. Almost done. Every deed, just had a conversation with somebody this week about it. Every deed you do is a seed. Every deed is a seed. So don't just ask, as most Christians do, is this a sin? Too many Christians live in this way. Is it a sin? Hey, pastor, how far is too far? How far can I go and still slide into heaven? Listen, wrong question. Don't ask, is it a sin? Ask, is it a seed? I was thinking about seeds. Anybody else like to plant flowers in the spring in your flower beds? Yeah? You can take some of the most, these seeds that look ugly, but you put them in the ground and they'll produce some of the most beautiful flowers. So good to see you this morning, by the way. I've been missing you. Beautiful flowers. Have you ever noticed after a couple weeks, few weeks? I'm not a green thumb, so I don't know how many weeks it takes, but maybe a month, I don't know. After watering in the sunshine, that those beautiful flowers come up, yes? But how many knows they're not alone in the flower bed unless you're doing some extra tilling and some extra work? My grandma used to have that little three fork looking thing that would pull the roots out, right? There are other things that will grow there. They're called weeds. And weeds don't necessarily have to be planted. They don't even need a seed. They just grow. A lot of times, and I used to hate the home we lived at in Georgia, one of our homes, because we moved so many times. My neighbor I love to keep up my yard and keep it, you know, keep all the weeds out and all that stuff. My neighbor, he liked to let all those miniature trees grow up, them weed. But what would happen is when he'd go to cut his grass, he'd blow that mess over my yard. And guess what I had? Listen, I don't want what you got growing up in my yard. Some of y'all need to tell your friends the same thing. I don't want what you got growing up in my yard. So don't ask, is it sin?
Is it sin, Pastor? How far is too far?
Ask, is it a seed? So avoid triggers. The next one is, just before I close, offer an alternative. God never just delivers you from something. He always delivers you to something. So make sure that when you remove something, that you put something in its place. So what happened to the children of Israel? God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were supposed to go to the promised land, but they weren't ready, so they got stuck in a place they were never meant to be. And maybe you're here this morning, and spiritually you feel stuck. They moved from Egypt, and they were supposed to go to the promised land, but they found themselves in no man's land. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you feel like you're stuck and in no man's land. As a pastor, it's my prayer for you that you would know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. That's why we have talks like this. That's why we have teaching series like this. There was another trip this week to Walmart, but this one was definitely orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, I promise. Now, it is red velvet, which is Pastor B's favorite. I like cupcakes because I know how much is in it. It's a cup of cake. Y'all know if I do, there's a particular individual in this church body, bless your heart, every April 28th for my birthday, I always get a red velvet cake. And this message by no means is trying to discourage that, just understand. But when I look at a cake, full cake, high cake, like five-layer cake, yeah, whoo, that's what I'm saying after I eat half of it, whoo. When I look at it, I know that it could do damage to me. I know it could, but when I look at this, it's just a cup of cake, not too much damage. And I also know how much is left. There's another one over there. And somebody back there is going, is Pastor B going to share? Absolutely. The thing that I didn't share with you about the reason I gave those things away is because sometimes you're tempted to lick the icing off your finger because you know how good. No, sometimes the reason that I did it is because I needed to get rid of it out of my house, because I'm making a decision that if I don't like what I'm seeing, I need to make some moves towards getting to where I'm supposed to be. That's why I gave them away. No. Listen, because the enemy told me, oh, you're going to give them away? How cool is that going to sound? When you give him what's good, what's not good for you, you're giving it to somebody else. No, because check this out. Some of the things that might be bad for me might not be bad for you. It's true. But there's a place that I want to go. So there's some things that there's a move that I need to make. The danger with the cupcake is our lives are a lot like this. We're portioning out sin. It's just a little. It's just a cup. It's not the whole cake. It's just a little bit. But if I take this one and this one and all its brothers and sisters over there on that shelf at Walmart, because one, these things are like Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop. I need somebody to take these off my hands. Who wants these red velvet cakes? They good too. I guess they're good because I did not eat one. And they came straight out of my refrigerator. They haven't just been sitting on the counter. I'm not going to taste that icing because if I taste the icing, I'm going to want the whole thing. You football player, homie, you need to make some gains. Your coach will thank Pastor B. Yeah. Somebody hand me a napkin right there. So today, the caution is this. Avoid your triggers. I avoided it and gave it away. That's not bad for him. It's actually going to help produce in him what he's supposed to be doing on the football field. But for me, it's not going to give me the results that I need. So what do you have to get rid of today? Stop portioning out. And just remember, don't worry about, is it sin? Is it a seed? And a seed will always lead you to a place of harvest. And if it's toxic, you'll be toxic. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. God, I thank you that it is amazing. Father, if there's anybody here this morning that you just move on their heart, God. If there's anything that they need to say, yeah, that's probably not something I need to be dealing with. God, there's no more words that I can say. Just take a moment in the last 120 seconds, 2 minutes. Do a self-examination of yourself inside. Just say, God, show me, is there an area that is in my life right now that I need to go back to the root and pull that up and get it gone? Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody you follow on Facebook or Instagram. I don't know. And sometimes you can follow people on Instagram and Facebook you don't even know. But there's a reason that you're craving. I don't know what it is. And just under your breath in your own way, just say, God, remove the desire so that I can make wise choices. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, you know what, Pastor B? I hear what you're saying. You're telling us we're talk to God. He's our creator. I kind of understand that. But I don't know him like you know him. Like, I don't know that I can talk to him like you're talking to him. And I need to have a relationship with him. If you're here this morning, you say, I want to make things right in my life today, and I want to accept Jesus into my heart. If you're here this morning, would you just slip up your hand? I just want to pray for you right where you sit. If there's anybody here this morning, I see that hand in the back. Anybody else? Any more hands? Let's say this prayer together. Oh God, I come before you today, confessing all my stuff. My flesh has been the driver. I understand that my flesh will always be in the vehicle. But I want my spirit to be the driver. I want your spirit to be the driver of my soul. So God, come into my heart. Clean out anything that is not of you. Make me new so that my life can count for the rest of my life. I love you, Jesus. I don't know if you've even said that to him recently, but just tell him again. Say, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media, or head over to our website at releasecitychurch.org and click on the giving link and help us to continue to share the message of Jesus and his hope with the world. God bless you. Have an awesome week.